the reason.
I can't afford to hire him.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that, you know, I had to talk to him. And I said, well, I understand that it's financial. And I said, hey, I signed your contract, got your ratings, and expected a rate of that. Getting paid for what's happening. I said, well, I'll take over. But I said, that's nice. Well, I realized I'd rather play. I can still play. You remember that. That's when Joe was there, the base team. I said, Joe, I'll give you a shot right now. It works out fine. You're the shortstop. Well, honestly, Joe was not in that upper echelon of good shortstop.
Uh-huh.
In all capacity. And he was just favored by going to the Yankees and hitting two or three World Series.
Yeah.
And well, the same thing with Charlie Silvera. How many innings did he catch at the Yankees? 8 or 9 innings?
Uh-huh.
What, 5, 6, 7 innings? That's uh-huh. all. He's got 6 or 7 rings.
It's like Charlie. Did you know Charlie Wenzel? Down in Mill Valley.
No, his name. I don't
know. He was a pitcher, and I think he had something like 13 decisions in 3 years or something. But in those 3 years, he was on 3 finalists. That's
like
all
with,
it is.
With Silvera, all he was a batting
practice
catcher out in the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right place, right time.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I don't say
no. He's lucky.
You were lucky to do it.
What was the? Did the operation of the A's from the player's viewpoint, 51, 52, 53, did it get skimpy? How did the tight money
just
situation?
Because the only time we would know any effect would be on the rim. And there was never any effect on the rim either. Because they were obligated, using the word, for in those days, real money.
Yeah.
And one time we used to just sign. Some guys really found it up. They kept their hometown, maybe 10 people for dinner, 12 people, and signed a check. And that's what stopped. So now they give you the per diem for 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
No, there was never any problem with that.
The travel and the hotel and all of
the
stays
the
same.
Mm-hmm. They may have been in the rears sometimes, but it's always guaranteed by the league itself, of course. But no, I don't think that that had anything.
And the maintenance of ballpark and equipment and everything.
Everything is.
They didn't skimp at all.
So the big thing was, in my opinion, that the franchise couldn't stay there. Under the direction of Tron Jr. He came up to me in 15. Went out and went right to me. I said, I'm going to talk to you. He said, I'm going to talk to you. Said, things are not going to be as bad as people are talking about. He said, that's not my fault. That's when I think they sold the concessions. And they said, we needed some money, but he says, I've got someone that's salvages, so making a good franchise. And he was at Jack Kelly. He said, you say he's interested? Yeah. He said, put $1 million on that. Ask up there, rent some more if I ask him. I said, well, geez, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you said, I think you'll buy a plane now. I said, well, I got a girl, I'm going to throw him out the window. That's what I think he was. Doing anything anyway. So he said the only concession that Walt before the only thing that would be involved in the deal would be that as I talked to Roy, he said that he would be positive if he would accept Junior, Jack Kelly Junior, him, teach him the rudiments of being a general manager on the ball club. That's why I got to where I wouldn't go up the office because of where I lived. Because when I became manager, I heard myself, but I seemed to really impress me, appreciate it. We had a luncheon, and they introduced me to the press and so forth. So they asked me to say a few words as to what I feel and I think we can do to improve the situation. And I said, well, I'm going to begin with one thing. that there's animosities here that shouldn't be. And the reason for it, I'm not positive, but I want to tell you about how I feel. So I pointed to the point, I pointed to Earl. I said, you two, this is a conversation piece right now. If you two guys can get along, if you two can bury the hatchet, and I think that the possibility is there, then we might have a successful season. I said, beyond that, if you guys can continue like this, it's going to be nothing but disarrangement all over.
And all the pressure and everybody's sitting
there. I was right in front of the crowd. I told him that. I said, you guys have screwed this place up for years since I've been here. I said, Earl, I said, what the hell good are you? I said, what do you do for this club? What you do is go to spring training, sit out there and get sunburned. I said, Roy, you're supposed to be the financial manager and you know what the hell's going on? I said, this place has been broke for the last 3 years almost and you don't know anything about it. You don't do anything. Go out and get people to say, hey, you're one of the owners, you're one of the owners. We need 10,000, 20,000 apiece to continue. So that's the only way we're going to survive, and you know that. So I did. I said this out verbatim. I'm not positive exactly,
yeah.
But it was just, I pointed at them. I said, if we can get you two to be congenial and try to help this problem, that's fine. And I said to Art Ehlers, I said, Ehlers, I said, as far as the general manager, why the hell don't you go get a broom and start sweeping the goddamn stands? I said, you don't do anything to try to help this problem. It's nothing. So I'll just give it on to you. Now I'm in position. Stanley calls me. He managed to have the Yankees. Philadelphia, he calls me. He said, who do I talk to? What voice? Howie Bird. I said, so? I said, no, Jason. I can't. What the hell? I said, the only guy I got to count on right now, the other guy's arm's not good. Well, he said, we can talk, can't we? I said, no, I'll tell you why. I just talked with Phil. I said, you guys are going to do the same thing. I'll tell you what he did. So you know it out of good friends. He said, hey, he says, you know what we're talking about. How are you going to do it? I said, fine. Tell me what you can do. Well, Tom Dorton was there. He says, Eddie, how about $250,000? Oh, I said, Mr. Yorkie, that would be great. Let's see, I could take and put $20,000 in center field. Put 30,000 pitches around. He said, what are you getting at? I says, I can't use them. I need players. I said, you guys want to sit down and talk about the transition of my man to you and you to me? I said, let's go. I said, Joe. I said, there's no way. I said, the 250,000, I said, that's going tomorrow. But I don't have any players.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, we'll talk about it. I said, no. So now it's time. And he says, I want to talk about it. I said, okay, so we're not talking about it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I need players. I won't come up with money, as you know, and I'm sure you know. They turned down $250,000 in the Red Sox. And immediately, Joe had to find that. Don't sell them to the Yankees. All right, Joe. But anyway, he sat and talked, and he would write down whom you think you should get for her.
Uh-huh.
And pass it around, and Top and reads it, and Stengel reads it, and I read it, and turn them up, you go again.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how many times we've done it now. Finally, Stengel says, well, wait a minute. You accept these guys? I said, yeah, that's the guys I need. I'm like, welcome. I want players. I don't want money. I want players that I can put out there and be helpful to. Looked at Topping. Oh, hell. Cases. To go. We can do that. For Harry Bird. That's for Harry Bird. Okay? But he says, I got to call New York. I said, wait a minute. Is this a deal or not? Topping said, no, man, I got to call New York. You know I'm going to go. The Dutchman. I said, oh, Jesus. Dan, I said, forget it. You know damn well. He isn't going to turn it down because he wasn't here. He's going to turn it down because he wasn't here.
Now, where were you?
In Atlanta. So he says to me, tell you what, get on the other phone. So I get on the other phone. Call him. Talk to him. Touch him. He says, I've got a deal with the Athletics for Harry Bird. And here's the players who intend to send to them for Harry Bird. I heard he's going home all of a sudden. I'm going to send up 100 decibels. Oh, I scream at the top. This is my line. It's not what's going to happen. I'm not going to see you later, Dan. I'm talking to
The next day, see, they started out with all that garbage that they wanted to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, six guys there. Only one guy, Bill Redder. Anyway, next day, to get a hold of Earl. How the hell, evidently Roy went along. Get a hold of Earl. Next thing you know, they didn't know how to break the New York Knicks. Here's the six players I turned down. He gets them. And I told these guys when I come over there, I said, look, I'm not anti-players, but as you guys and yourself, you haven't been able to play the big leagues. And I said, Bill, you're the only possibility that I could say, hey, you're starting in that left field or center field, wherever you want to play. And Lemmer, I said, oh, geez, Lou, I said, I went over. Kid Finnegan, third base. I watched him, and he couldn't move 5 feet without falling on his face. Oh, geez, it was just a mess. They got rid of all that garbage. And Earl was the guy who made the deal. And that's the end of Earl Mack and I. I just told him, you're crazy.
Earl made the deal, not Roy.
I make it the way I know that Earl, they grabbed Earl first.
Yeah.
And he went to Roy with
him. Yeah.
But there again, Ehlers was in any way a baseball person to say yes or no, who would never have accepted that, but he accepted the deal. So it was it was a lot of fun. And I'm not degrading the players. What the hell are they?
No, but
there weren't big league players that I needed.
Mm-hmm. You told me that Jimmy Dykes let you know that they were going to be hiring you.
Yeah.
But how did it take place officially? You were asked to come in to see who?
It was battered around by the newspaper people.
Yeah.
Evidently somebody up in front of the office talked about the newspaper guys. She said definitely would be announced that you
But your hiring was done by who? Roy calling in the office? Or?
I just called the office and they told me that the manager and the team Roy was in the
office. Mr. Mack was there too?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Did he have anything to say? Not by that time.
Well, the reference to it was, of course, in the laughable sense that Jimmy had only told me that he can't afford to hire him. Contracts. I was a manager. That's it.
Well, what was your reaction then in the office?
Oh, I said, hey, that's great. I said, I'd be very happy to accept it. I said, why play? I said, as far as managing, I'm not capable right now. I said, I've never done it, but I have an idea as to how it's done.
Have you ever thought about it?
At that time, I was still able to play.
Yeah.
Well, no, because the guy that said to me, Eddie, as long as I'm around, you'll be with Boston, the Red Sox. Mentioned the tight guy in my organization, and he went on and on and on. And he blew it up for me, and I told him off one day. Well, that was the deal. So, anyway, Joe and I had a little confrontation at an all-star representation